1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, and it's in your notes today. He said, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what you've received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according with the Scriptures, that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to the ultimately born, He appeared also, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me." What a powerful passage of Scripture. And as we launch into our Word today, we're focusing on Ephesians 4:30, and I want to read that and show you why I'm going to talk about the resurrection and linking in relation to that. As we've worked through the book of Ephesians, it's gone step by step on what Jesus has done and now what God has called us to do because of the working of the resurrection power in our lives. But Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." You might say, what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ have to do with that? Well, I'm going to get to that in a moment, but I want to begin with a question. Does the resurrection of Jesus Christ really make a difference? What is all this stuff all about? And before I begin, I think it's important just to talk about what's going on in our culture today and what has happened. But I want to read a scripture out of the Exodus 23:13, and I think this is so important for us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Pay attention to all that I have said to you, and make no mention of the names of other gods, nor let it be heard on your lips." Now, we have the term to say today that we say Happy Easter, and I would like to give you, and I think this is so important for just for us to know, the benefit of the doubt and what's behind all of this. But if I were to give you the history, there's a guy in the Bible whose name was Nimrod, and he was the guy that kind of headed up the Tower of Babel. And the reason why he did that was in throughout history and historical references. Basically, he said, you know, God's not going to send a flood on the earth, and if He does send a flood on earth again, I'm going to build a tower tall enough that God isn't going to be able to reach me. He had an arrogance. He defied God, and it was through him and through throughout history that they began to worship Baal, the sun god. And Nimrod had a wife, and she bore a son. And you can guess what day she bore that son. It was December 25th, and his name was Tammuz. And let me just give you a history of how all of this occurred. And today in Syria and in all those kinds of areas, the religion that comes forth out of this is this guy, Tammuz, was killed by a pig on his 40th birthday when he was 40 years old. And that's the day that we have Easter Sunday. And just to give you a little history of that, from then on, they commemorated his death with 40 days of fasting and weeping. And when his mother died, they said in that religion that she ascended into heaven, and then she came back down in a huge egg. Now, this sounds all far-fetched and crazy. Are you still with me? She came back down in a huge egg and came out, and from then on, she turned a bird into a rabbit that spits out eggs. Now, on that day, now this is all going to sound crazy, and why am I saying this? Because I don't like the word Easter, because the name when she came back down was the goddess Easter, and they would worship her, and they would on Easter day they would conceive virgins, and so the next year those virgins would have their children. And they would sacrifice those children and dip their eggs in blood in commemoration of Tammuz. Now, some of you are shocked this morning. It's very
disheartening and very scary. But God says, don't even let their names be on your lips, because the Israelites mixed pagan worship with the one true God. And not only that, every Easter they would, and this is where we get our tradition for ham on Easter, because Tammuz was killed by a pig, they would sacrifice a pig and kill a pig in his honor. So we'll kill that pig for you since it killed you. And so they reverenced them and worshiped them. And so all throughout history, whether it's Egyptian religion or Greek religion, the god Zeus, it's all sun god worship. And they were all born throughout history, and even in all these different religions, on December 25th. So we can be sure that our Savior Jesus Christ was not born on that day. And so I just wanted to encourage you to get that name off your lips, because the Bible says don't even say or mention the names of those gods. You know, these things distract from the real meaning of why we're here. And throughout history, God has throughout the church has decided to set aside a day to worship God and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And perhaps maybe in some of their thinking and error, they said, well, we want to replace the pagan practices with this. But God doesn't like when we mix things. He wants us to be pure. This is Passover time. This is the time to celebrate the Passover lamb who died on the cross for our sins and has risen from the grave. You know, there's something about getting rid of all the busyness, all the things that hold us back in our lives, and focus on what it is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what does the resurrection do for us? What does it make a difference in our lives? And for that, I want to turn and do some review in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19. He says, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand in the heavenly places?" Now, can you imagine that scripture we just read? Over 500 witnesses saw Jesus. And it wasn't like he just rose from the dead and then ascended into heaven. It was over a month or so that, and even longer, that he was walking on the earth. Probably you know the exact days are 40 days. He walked the earth and he was seen by 500 witnesses. So if I go to court and I have a court case and there's witnesses that come up, the more witnesses there are, the more it's held up as truth, right? The mouth of two or three witnesses, that's been throughout history of all times. But imagine not just the apostles who have written down and recorded this legacy of Jesus Christ as the only one who has risen from the dead, was seen by 500 witnesses. That's important because it is true. It's established by witness. It's established by God's word, the witness of the disciples. But then it says this great power that raised Jesus from the dead. Anybody raise anybody from the dead lately in here? No? Perhaps if we read stories of missionaries in other countries, we hear of people being raised from the dead. And our brother that's a missionary in Indonesia had an experience like that where a guy had his head halfway chopped off, and God raised him to life, and now he just travels around and preaches all the time. God raises people to life. Think about the power that's in that. He says that same power can be in your life. Whatever you struggle with, whatever addiction that has got you down, whatever trial you're going through in your life, it says here in Ephesians, as we trace it through, that it has great power to change our lives. And not only that, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 5, he says, "When we were dead in our sins, we were made alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved." Jesus was raised. We are also raised with him. And not only that, in chapter 4, verse 23, it transforms our life. He says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Now, you're saying, what does this have to do with Ephesians 4:30? What does resurrection power have to do with the Holy Spirit? Because as we trace through this book, and it finally gets to this point where he says, don't lie, don't steal. He lists four things there that we preached through in the last 4 weeks. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How can we not grieve the Holy Spirit? It is the power of the resurrection through the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is a person in our lives. Now, have you ever stopped and thought about that God, the one who spoke and all this was into existence, chose to dwell inside of us through the Holy Spirit? God, the Holy Spirit as a person inside of us. Realize the power that we have. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that can change my life and your life. And I can testify to that. I am a stubborn person. Even though I was raised in the church and I gave my life to Christ when I was 5 years old, and God had to work a lot of junk out of my life. Things that seemed impossible, baggage from past, baggage in my life, and I'm sure you share with the same things, similar things. But because of His resurrection, He's working in me. Because of His resurrection, He's working in you through the Holy Spirit. And so how does His resurrection work? He works through the Spirit. And I want you to see something. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 just for a moment. Now, these words are the words of God, so pay close attention to them. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. And I just want to stop right here and say, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is something exciting. There is hope. Because when we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, it says right here that our minds are set on things of the Spirit, and it gets better. He says in verse 6, for to set the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Perhaps you came here today looking for life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, there's a lot of times that I've tried to please God in my own strength, in my own flesh. And perhaps maybe that might be your story today, that you have tried so hard to do the right things in your life. You went to church and you followed God, but still, you just couldn't seem to match up. And no peace in your life, right? There's no peace when we're trying to match up to God's standard and we just can't do it. And that is the truth. We can't. But because of the resurrection, because of the same, look what it says here. This gets so awesome. In verse 9, he says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit brings life and salvation. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's not inside of you, and you'll never be able to change your life. But the good news today is that when Jesus said, it is finished, and He stretched out His arms and died for you in your place for your sins, and He rose again from the grave, He offers eternal life for those that will receive it. He offers for the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. And God has called us to repent, to turn from our old ways and from our old ways of living to follow Jesus Christ. Now, if the resurrection of Jesus is true, and you truly believe in it, here are the results. Now let's look at our text in Ephesians 4:30. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. if the resurrection is real, the Holy Spirit seals and will seal you when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are guaranteed eternal life, and you're guaranteed to be fully redeemed or set free from sin. Now, Tanya, where's my lovely? Oh, she's sitting somewhere else today. She laughs at me because there's an old spiritual that I like to sing sometimes around the house when I have pains and when I have struggles in my life. I sing this song, "There's a leak in this old building, you all, and my soul has got to move. My soul has got to move." I'll spare you the rest of the song. But then she laughs. And it is funny, you know, the way I sing and go about it. But there is leaks in this old building. I still mess things up. But you know, when the Holy Spirit seals us, we have a guarantee that one day we will be finally redeemed. This is the power of Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you and me. And what is the three purposes of the seal? And we studied this back in chapter 1, verse 13 already, is that when the Holy Spirit seals, He confirms a document as real and genuine. When someone receives Jesus Christ, if you receive Jesus today, He puts His seal on you and He says, "This guy is my son." The second part of the seal that God does is that it signifies a completion of a transaction to mark the property of something. Not only does He say, "He's my son," He belongs to me. And then the third thing is to make something secure. Believers are sure in their salvation. That's the power of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you've not yet received the Holy Spirit in your life, maybe you've dabbled in a little bit of religion that's maybe mixed with some paganism and some things in the world, and you might get a good feeling when you come to church and we sing these great songs, but there's something bigger and there's something better for you. And that is to receive Jesus Christ and allow the Spirit to come in, and He makes that transaction and He says, "You're mine. I want to transform your lives. I want to do something in you that I have never done before in your life. I have marked you with a seal." Now, the interesting thing as we lead up to "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit" in chapter 4 is that we've already talked about several instances of what the Holy Spirit does for you. You say, well, what does the Holy Spirit do when He comes inside of us? The whole book of Ephesians lays that out. In chapter 1, verse 17, it says He gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can understand what it means to be saved. You will not be able to understand the Bible and how to live a holy life until the Holy Spirit moves inside. He gives you wisdom. Now, John came, we didn't even have an altar call, and John came forward and accepted Jesus Christ a few years back. It's been a long time. He bought a new Bible, and I was just looking at that Bible today, and it's all worn out, and you could tell almost every page had been open because he was so hungry for the Lord and the work of God in his life. The Holy Spirit, John can testify to this, that once the Holy Spirit moved in, the Bible became life, didn't it, John? I mean, it was a difference of night and day. John knew a lot about the Bible. But when the Holy Spirit moved in, man, that hunger just developed and he began to grow in Jesus Christ. You can too. In chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Through the Spirit, we have access to have a relationship with God. Where before we were separated from God, we now have exact, direct relationship with Him. We don't have to talk to Him through a teller window. We don't have to talk to Him through a pastor or a priest. We don't have to conjure up God. He's there. We go through Jesus Christ to Him through the Spirit. The Spirit gives us access, it says in 2:18. Not only that, in chapter 2, verse 22, it says the Holy Spirit is building us into a place for God to dwell. Now, if we were to say, okay, let's picture building a building. If God's going to move in this building, what is it going to look like? What's it going to be like for God to move inside? There can't be some little crud in the corner. You know, if I were to invite you over to my house for dinner, and I just tracked mud from being outside in the house, you can be sure and know it that right away that we would be cleaning the house, scrubbing everything down and making it ready for you to come. The Holy Spirit, you know what He's doing inside of you and I, is cleaning us up step by step, making you ready for the final redemption. Will you let Him have His way? The Spirit is not a force. He's not this old spooky thing. He is a person. He is God Almighty who comes to live inside of us. And He's building us into a building that God is fit to dwell, that we are fit for God to dwell in. He reveals to us the mystery of the gospel in chapter 3, verse 5. And chapter 3, verse 16, He strengthens our inner being with His power. Now, we might have it physically all together on some days, but how many of you struggle with depression or feeling like, is God really real in my life? I've been many times. I'm a pastor. Is God real? Is the resurrection really real? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He will strengthen your inner being, your spiritual man, with might, with power. And then in chapter 4, verse 3, He brings unity and peace to the church. So what should our response be to the Holy Spirit? If God, when we receive salvation, moves inside of us through the Holy Spirit, what should our response be? And this is like a hinge in the book of Ephesians. After He talks about in the previous verses to put off falsehood, anger, sinful anger and stealing and bad speech, He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, what does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? And we unpack that meaning, that word in the Greek. The first part of that is when our life and our actions affect the Holy Spirit to become sad and sorrowful. I want to encourage you to think with, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, if you have the power of the resurrection, is what you're saying or what you're doing at that moment making the Holy Spirit, God Himself, cry? Is it making Him sad? Or is He blessed? See, part of the dynamics of relationship, and that's a husband and wife relationship. You know, I can do stupid things and hurt my wife's feelings. I don't like that when that happens. Sometimes I do it. And when I see her sad, or if there's a tear forming, or I was like, I know I've just grieved my wife. And the relationship is breached. When the Holy Spirit, who lives so close inside of us, He begins to weep because of what I'm saying, because of what I'm doing, that means I have not yielded to the Holy Spirit. And so don't be hardened to that relationship with the Spirit. We don't talk the Holy Spirit enough in the church, because He is the one that saves us. He's the one that keeps us saved. He is the one that purifies us. He is the one that does the work. He is the one that maybe caused that little girl to come up here and dance and twirl around in her dress as we were singing the joyful songs. You know, the true emotions that were inside was fitting to the message of the music. The power of the Holy Spirit at work in each and every one. And the innocence of a child. You know, we get all sophisticated as adults, don't we? But the Holy Spirit, just be quiet. Just keep them held down inside there. Jesus said, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. We got to let the Holy Spirit come out. We have to surrender to Him. Don't grieve the Spirit. The next part of that meaning is, when our actions offend the Spirit or make Him uneasy. When our actions offend the Holy Spirit and make Him uneasy. Is the Holy Spirit uneasy with your life right now as it stands? The good news is He says, confess your sins
And God is going to be faithful and just to forgive. And the Holy Spirit will be more than joyful to embrace you and to set your heart on fire with his living flame of love. Is what you're thinking, is what you're doing offending the Holy Spirit? Is it offending God? And then the last part of that definition is when our lives affect the Holy Spirit to disapprove of our moral choices. Does the Holy Spirit disapprove of your choices today? Now, you say, Pastor, you know, this is Resurrection Sunday. Why are we talking about this? Because here's the expediency of the moment. In our culture right now, where we live, where God has placed us, there are so many people that are going to church, maybe go to church once a year, or maybe go to church twice a year, or whatever, and they believe that everything is okay with God. But here's the importance. The resurrection is not a one Sunday a year thing. It's an everyday thing. Jesus wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He wants to move in on your life. He wants to change your priorities. He wants to do something powerful through you. And here's why it's important. I don't want to be responsible and accountable to God to make you feel that you're okay and then the Holy Spirit's really not inside of you. But you have it. It's right at our fingertips. Jesus said, I'll do all that receive, all that come to me, I'll not cast away. How do we grieve the Spirit? There's all kinds of ways, and specifically in this text of Scripture, we had gone through forms of deception and lying, sinful anger, stealing. We talked not just about taking the pen from the bank, but we talk about stealing from others when we say a bad or mean thing to them. Then we talked about corrupting talk. So all those areas of our life. So how can we avoid grieving the Spirit of God? If you're a believer here today, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you've received the risen Savior, you believe that He's alive, you believe that He was crucified for your sins, we can do nothing but surrender to the work of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you might be feeling uneasy, as I am when I read this text today. That's the gentle wooing and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And my pride heart needs to be broken down. And when you go to battle, there's a flag that they used to wave, and it was a white flag when they said, I surrender. We even have a song, I Surrender All, that we sing and we don't mean. But when we take this and we're saying, Holy Spirit, I give up. I give up. Holy Spirit, I give up. Allow the convicting work of the Holy Spirit to wash over you and your life, because He loves us so much. He wants us to have a life of freedom and hope and joy. He wants us to walk in victory. He wants us to walk in cleanness and holiness. He wants our households to be pure. He wants us to discover what it's like to live in the joy of the Lord. So how can we not grieve the Spirit? By surrendering to the conviction today. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today might be the day. It might be your only chance to say, yes, Jesus, I take your sacrifice. Holy Spirit, come and live inside of me. Have your way in my life. The second thing that we can do is by accessing and allowing the spiritual benefits and promises that the Holy Spirit takes root in our life. Remember those things like the Spirit of wisdom and revelation? Say, God, I need your spiritual wisdom here. Remember the access we have to the Father. Go to the Father. Remember that He reveals the mystery. Remember He's building you into a building. We have access to those promises through the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. Third, by being serious and taking action to live out your salvation. There's a whole mess of people in our country and in the state of West Virginia that say, I'm saved and I'm on the way to heaven, but there's no difference in their life. And as an unsaved person or someone that doesn't have Christ can look and say, why do I need to go to church? There's nothing different about them. They have all the same practices that I do. They don't honor marriage like I don't honor marriage. They have immorality. They have anger. They have strife. They can't get along with each other in the church. And there's no difference. But I want to tell you today, because Jesus is alive, He can break through those prison bars and those chains and set us free from that nasty spirit of religion and change and transform.
Because the Christian life is a living thing. It's a real thing. It is the priority of the believer's life. You know, the difference between a fake believer and someone that just has a little bit of religion and someone, as I look at John, who as soon as he got saved, he was just reading the word and asking questions. He was calling Keith all the time and he'd say, "Pastor, I have a question." Or, well, he was just so hungry into the word and opening it up. He was so hungry for God. That's one of the signs of a true believer. And the true believer actually takes action to clean up their lives. And we talk a lot about this on Wednesday nights as well as we become a community of faith. Why do we meet on Wednesday? So that we can help each other work through our messes. Because we know the Holy Spirit is building us into a building, a place for God to dwell. And that can't take place if you're separating yourself and isolating yourself from the people of God. You have to be with them. You have to meet with them constantly. Because the Holy Spirit not only dwells in us as individuals, He dwells with us together. He says, "You yourselves," plural, "know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit." So by seeing the Holy Spirit as He is, as truly God, living inside of us. So I want to encourage you today. Is the Holy Spirit frowning or smiling? This is a good question that we can ask ourselves every single day. If you have the Spirit of God, is He frowning or is He smiling about what's happening in my life right now? What takes priority in your life? What consumes most of your time? If Jesus is real, if His resurrection is true, that must change the very fiber and the dynamic of how we live our lives. It just must. It's either follow Jesus with everything that we have and give our lives to Him, or nothing at all, and the resurrection isn't true. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if it's not true, we're just wasting our time. We believed in vain. All these songs we sing and all the preaching you listen to, it's in vain. But I know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, based on the Word of God and the witnesses and the facts of history. In fact, even a secular Jewish historian, Josephus, records and makes mention of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a well-known fact. He is the only God who has risen from the grave, that the tomb is empty, or they have three or four tombs. You know, one's the real tomb, but they're all empty. He is the only one that has power to transform us from the inside out. And I'm not talking about outside moral change. I'm talking about a true love, a true passion, a true peace that only He can give. Is the Holy Spirit smiling or frowning at us? I want to just encourage you this morning, if we just go before the Lord today, just bow our hearts before Him today. I want to beg of you today as people, as humans, as humans that God created in His image. If you're here today and you've been stuck on religion, and you say, "I want out of this mess. I want out of this fake Sunday morning only thing. I want out of this thing that really doesn't change my life. I want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord." If that's you, I want to encourage you this morning just to lift up your hand, or feel free to come down to the altar and pray now. Even now, it says today is the day of salvation. If that's you, lift up your hand and say, "You know what, I want to receive Jesus. I want to know for sure that when I die, I'm going to go and be with God forever." If that's you, please slip up your hand or talk to me afterwards or come down to the altar. Whatever God's Spirit is leading you to do today, to say, "Yes, I receive the risen Savior in my life." Is there anyone today? Jesus is ready to radically transform your life. So feel free to call the church office. Feel free to come by. Be more than happy to talk with you about this relationship with Jesus. Because I can testify firsthand, and there's many other brothers and sisters in here that can say the same. He's not done with me yet. I have many faults. I have many struggles in my life, but He's working. He's working through His resurrection power. And if you're here today as a believer in Jesus Christ and your heart has become cold and hardened to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, in fact, you don't even feel it anymore, you've pushed it aside, you've disobeyed in that one area of your life long enough that
You just don't even, you just kind of go about as if everything's okay. I want to challenge you today, respond to the Spirit. And I'm going to give you just a moment of silence to do that. However, the Holy Spirit's working in your life. If anybody would like to come and pray at the altar, I'm more than happy to do that. Have you pray and let's do that. Let's come before Jesus. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Lord, there is coming a day when there will be no more sorrow, no more sickness as you promised. Lord, we say here we are. Whatever way some of us in here are waving our flags, our white flags of surrender, and we're saying yes. Holy Spirit, I invite you to convict me. I invite you to build me into the man or the woman that you would have me to be. Lord, we come to you as your people today. And we ask that you would do a mighty move of your Holy Spirit in each of our lives. And Lord, I would say together in behalf of my brothers and sisters and myself, we ask your forgiveness for the times that we have made your Holy Spirit weep. Forgive us for the things that we're doing, the things that the attitudes we adopt, the things that come about in our lives that offend you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and have that intimate relationship that Paul talks about, where your Spirit bears witness with our spirits, our souls, that we truly are the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. Lord Jesus, we turn aside from our idols. We turn aside from the traditions of culture. We turn aside from any busyness, from anything that keeps us from having a real relationship. We turn aside from our own man-made religion. And Jesus, we receive you as the risen Lord and Savior, as Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.